Equity is all about dragging down excellence to the lowest common denominator, which is usually some weird bloke with fake tits dancing in front of children.
Ban them.
How did we end up in a world where men dance for children? Hello, and welcome to Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him, the...
Father.
This is a show where where Calvin tries to tutor me in the ways of righteousness, and he is succeeding slowly but surely, but it's a long road, and we'll get there in the end. And I try and tutor him in the ways of, I don't know what I can tutor him in the ways of. How are you, dear boy?
I'm very well, actually. How are you?
You're always very well.
What's the point in being anything otherwise?
Oh, I don't know. I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. I may have a glint of optimism on the horizon.
Whoa, steady on.
Well, I came to the conclusion that I've been walking around getting punched in the face for 4 years now.
Yeah.
And I sense that I may need some distance from it, in a way.
What does that mean?
It means focusing on, while still focusing on all the things that I have to do and everything like that, it means finding some solace. Mm. So finding a place to be, which is outside of the city.
Yes, a retreat.
So, yeah, I will divulge more information as it evolves. Okay. But, I think the days potentially... The days of me waking up in this hellhole that leftists run hellhole that city
is a hellhole, isn't it?
It's a hellhole. I think the days of me waking up here on a regular basis are about to change.
Interesting timing. I am also looking to leave this cesspit of a city.
Mm.
I think we can fight the good fight from a distance. We've been in the trenches now for a number of years.
There's a country to save as well. It's not all about London.
Yeah.
The problem with London is obviously the capital city should be reflective of the health of the nation.
Yeah.
But the way that London is now is, I know it's boring to go on about it, but it is unrecognizable.
It is.
As the city I grew up in.
But there's no appetite to change it either. You know, Brits are in a minority in the capital city and they don't seem to care. And the ones that do have no voice and...
Or they're actively persecuted.
Yep.
I hate to say it, but
people keep voting the same way. Sadiq Khan will no doubt get in this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Will this show go out after polling day?
No.
Polling day?
It might be on polling day. Well, it's 23rd today. Yeah, no, it'll be after polling day. So we're going to have to cut that bit out and make this a bit... we're going to have to make this an evergreen show. This is going to be evergreen, regardless of what happened in... Yeah. The London mayoral elections.
Well, I'll tell you
I may be in City Hall right now.
You may be, but Sadiq Khan will definitely be the mayor of London.
He definitely will be, won't he? Unless voter ID plays a part, which is essentially election rigging again. I mean, I can't believe Sadiq Khan is complaining about voter ID when you needed to bring voter ID to his celebration of Sadiq Khanism.
But what's the point in importing your voter base if someone else is going to prevent them from voting? I can understand his point of view.
I'm so cynical. I love you. okay. Well, so there we are. I think we need a break. I think in academic terms, they call it sabbatical, don't they?
Yes.
I definitely need to recharge. I've written about 11,000 words.
Well done.
Of my magnum opus. And I am pleased with that, and it's good. It's a good bit of discipline.
I can't wait to see this
for me. Yeah, it's very strangely very honest. And actually, when I read it, I think, oh Lord, a lot has happened to you.
There's nothing strange about that. You are very honest.
Yeah, I am overly honest, I think sometimes. Mm. But what are your thoughts on the level? We've had this conversation before slightly, but someone was saying to me, no, it's Albert Camus said you've got to go to the edge because that's where the truth is. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's difficult to portray to people who aren't at the edge. Like you get to the edge, you find the truth, and then you want everyone to know the truth, but everyone is still blinkered and they see you as the extremity. It's a weird
situation. You can be the edge. We don't want to do the edge.
Yeah.
We're quite happily sat here doing our own thing. Well, I've got a an envelope for you. For those of you that are watching for the first time, I'm very, really bad at this whole show thing. Those of you watching for the first time, I select a story. Yeah. I weasel away in my pocket. Calvin does the same. And then Theon does the same. And Theon's just shaking his head. I think he definitely doesn't like the cigar smoke, bless him. Anyway.
I'll bring him a pipe next week.
Bring him a pipe. Let's get him smoking the pipe. The peace pipe. No? He's just shaking his head. So yeah, I story. Usually, I give Calvin a something to do with religion because
I don't know why.
What do you do for work? Do you work in the
this? I sit on a Chesterfield and smoke a cigar or a pipe.
Mm. Anyway, so I usually give Calvin something religious, but some of you who don't know him as well as I do, in a former life. Despite being gamer extraordinaire, he also was a teacher.
This is true.
And today's envelope comes not from God,
okay,
but from the education
system. Well, everything comes from God.
No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
It's not God slanted.
Good.
Well, it'll be God slanted once you've had a read of it.
But yeah, I spent a long time in education. Education is a
how long
passion of mine. 7 years. I was a school teacher, an assistant principal, a consultant for the DfE. I've done a lot in education. Love it. Even after leaving, I've still kept a hand in. I was a school governor and a director of a school.
Did you get cancelled for many of those positions because schools are quite woke?
I did, actually.
I got an email from the school the other day from the school's diversity, equity and inclusion officer.
Go on.
And it just said, we're having a meeting for, you know, the diversity, inclusion.
Oh, they wanted to include you.
Parents meeting and pronouns in bio and everything. And I'm like, A, I can't respond to someone with pronouns in their bio.
No.
Because it's just fascism. And B, I do want to quite go to that meeting. So I want to hear about how a bunch of very rich millionaires' children deal with, you know, the fact that some of them have different hues of skin color and how hard it's going to be in their life when their parents are, you know, in the biggest rock bands in the world or the top footballers in the world or whatever. Actually, the footballers' kids tend to be a bit sounder for some reason because I suppose you come from nothing to something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, what do we got?
But yes, I did get cancelled from one school. I've been involved in a few schools.
And, you're just trying to give and they cancel you.
Invested a lot of time, you know, sitting in meetings and chairing meetings and helping with expulsions of naughty kids and bringing kids back into line with discipline. Just really investing lots and lots of hours and years into these schools. And one of them said to me, and I wish I won't name, essentially, you know, I'm quite controversial, Calvin, but you are something else. You are too controversial. And there was a moment of, we want to disassociate with your brand.
We want to disassociate with someone who's put everything on the line to try and help people. Yeah.
Well, that's because people put image above everything else, don't they, sometimes?
Horrible.
This story is a school offering a 12-hour day to break phone addiction.
There you go.
London head teacher introducing 12-hour school day to tackle smartphone addiction. This is a West London school, a Catholic school in Notting Hill, All Saints, is offering for years 7 and 8 to go to school from 7 a.m., and allowing them to stay until 7 p.m., all part of making them more social again. This is one of the schools that has banned smartphones, but not entirely. You're allowed to bring your smartphone in, but you have to keep it in a locker. I think they should go further and just say, you know, no smartphones at all. But this is a way of making kids look at people face-to-face and communicate and not go straight home and straight onto the devil box. But what's interesting about this is, so I often talk about the safeguarding aspect of smartphones. You know, I was a safeguarding officer and I saw hell on these devices with kids bullying each other, revenge porn, just exploiting each other, just nasty, nasty stuff. But actually this teacher talks about the other side of it in that he's said he's seen pupils catfishing and blackmailing strangers online. And there's that element to it too as well of young people trying to exploit adults on the internet, but in not realizing they're exploiting themselves in the process. It's all, it's evil. All of it is evil. Which is why
the evil of the smartphone is incredible. I mean, I think I said this to you before. I had to go to France and stick my kids on a mountain just to get them off the phone. So they're so invasive and we're so cyborgy.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed this hasn't come. I mean, I'm a big round of applause for that, by the way.
Kids are struggling with eye contact, struggling to make real friends. When I first heard the headline, I thought, well, wait, 12-hour school days? That's a bit much. But after reading it, the purpose behind it is great. So they can stay, they can do dodgeball, basketball, art, drama, cookery classes, like all very useful, good, wholesome things.
Yeah.
Instead of going home and sitting on their smartphone.
Yeah. I worry about the smartphone for me. So God knows what experiment this is having on children. So, I think all schools should have a total ban on smartphones.
Absolutely.
All of them.
Yes.
And I wouldn't go as far as you saying you can't bring them in because I had it with Eugene the other day. His football finish was moved and he couldn't get home.
But then he could have a brick phone. He could have a Nokia. He could text you or call you.
Yeah.
No child needs a smartphone. But then they don't like it.
But then their mates have got smartphones. You'd have to get together with all the parents.
You can't let kids do something because their mates do it. You've got to stand above and say, no, we're doing something better than what they do because it's good for you.
Except usually the things that you do that are better for kids are less cool. And
doesn't matter.
But could you not get parents together to agree it all?
You can try that if you like, but most parents are going to be liberals and most parents are going to want their kids to be cool or fit in. But as Christians and as conservatives, we don't want our kids to fit in because what are they fitting into? Degeneracy, debauchery, indecency, things that are harmful to them. We don't want them to fit in. We want them to be better, to rise up better than that. And one way is to make sure that the kids never have unfiltered access to the internet, never have access to a smartphone. Give them a dumb phone for safety if they need to be able to call or text on the way to or from school. But I can't think of any legitimate reason that a child ever needs a smartphone or a tablet.
Parental laziness.
Any legitimate reason?
Yeah, I've seen, I've got a friend who's got a very, very, very creative, I'm not totally on side.
Okay.
So I've got a friend who's got a really, 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 really creative daughter.
Okay. Right? Yep.
And they have banned her from TikTok.
Sound?
They've said, absolutely not. Right. No TikTok. But because she's smart.
I was going to say, have they banned her from her smartphone?
Yeah, no, she's allowed.
Then they haven't banned her from TikTok at all. All they've said is, you can now lie to us.
Oh, God, you're right. Well, maybe.
They're deluding themselves, is what they're doing.
I need to check. I can't work out whether... I don't think it's a... Anyway, I need to... But let me.
Children tend to be smarter than adults on technology. And if you say you can't use that app, they're going to say, okay, and they're going to find a way to use that app.
So this is what she's done. She starts new TikTok accounts without her parents' knowledge. And then she is so good at editing, video editing, literally film quality stuff.
Yeah.
She's 9. And she gets like tens of thousands of followers within...
No 9-year-old should have tens of thousands of people on the internet looking at
them. Hence why the parents don't like it.
But those parents are doing inadvertently is encouraging their daughter to lie to them, and they're breeding a relationship of distrust.
But don't we all lie to our parents? I mean, I did.
But you don't encourage it. And I think...
No, but I think you should... I think you...
By giving them a device and saying, but only use this device in this way, the device itself is harmful.
Why do you have one then?
Because I'm an adult.
But...
Right? So? I wouldn't let a 12-year-old smoke a pipe, but I'm an adult, right?
Next you're going to be telling me you don't want to... You don't think the gender-affirming care is a good idea.
This is important. There is a difference between children and adults, and that's been blurred, and really I think on purpose, by the liberals.
Why do the liberals... What is the liberal obsession with children all about?
You tell me. Yeah.
Pedos. It is. It's like break down the final taboo.
Break down the barriers.
Break down that final taboo. So it's progressivism is just progress for the sake of progress with no, as my dad always says, the means justify the ends. They just never tell you what the ends are.
Yes.
Which is, right. So a full ban. I did say this in a school meeting, and the whoever I was talking to, one of the staff, their face fell. I was like, why are they doing Instagram stories in the playground at break? It's like, it's shocking.
It is. But it's because we don't want to discipline or form children anymore. We want to be nice to children. Adults can't always be nice to children. We have to be firm.
That has happened because my own kids can be a bit like, you're meant to be nice to me. I'm like, I'm not your friend, I'm your dad.
Yeah.
So what would be a your school government, your head of school of the Calvin Robinson.
If and when I ever set up my own school, there would be no electronic devices for children at all. Schools have been flooded with them, from electronic whiteboards to tablets and laptops, and kids are on them, and kids know what they're doing, and the teachers don't always know what the kids are doing, and they don't need them. Books, textbooks, and exercise books are all you need in a classroom, and a whiteboard or a chalkboard if you want to go old school, just a way of the teacher writing something. You don't even need PowerPoints. PowerPoints are so contemporary.
We used to have Mr. Trevor Wharton at my school. I love your school, by the way. It sounds like I can already see what the uniform looks like.
A proper uniform.
But we used to have this guy called Trevor Wharton on the blackboard, and he had beautiful handwriting. And he would write down, you know, we were doing the War of the Roses or the Hundred Years' War or something like that, and he would write an entire blackboard.
Right.
Beautifully.
I love that.
And we'd have to copy it down into textbooks. And then he would tell us a story for the second half of the lesson. So it'd take us 20 minutes to do that. And then he'd tell us a story for the second half of the lesson. He was the guy that came in with a commando knife and handed it round and said, I killed a German with that.
Wow.
Yeah. And we were all like, yeah. Now kids would have to go to a counsellor or something, wouldn't they? Yeah. We have blurred the lines between children and adults. And we've also infantilized, I think what we've done stupidly is infantilized adults.
Yeah.
And whatever the opposite of infantilizing, children.
Absolutely.
So we're now in a world where children feel that smartphones are a right.
Yes.
And as you quite rightly say, they just get lost and hidden in them. Is there ever a good argument for a child to be have more access to a screen than another child, for example?
No.
No.
Even if it's special needs, there are ways of working around these special needs, you know, like yellow paper instead of white. And there are always ways to meet needs without giving a device.
What's the yellow paper and white thing?
Right, if you're dyslexic, it's easier to read off yellow paper than it is to read off white paper, for example.
Systemic paperism.
White superiority.
That is white privilege. I mean, that is white paper privilege. if ever I've seen it.
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot. Why? I'm just trying to make light.
Stop it.
All right, I'll stop it. Okay. So what is the solution to the infantilization of adults and the
We have to be prepared to be disliked by children. If we say, no, pull your socks up, you know, put your blazer on, put your tie up properly, make sure your top button's done, all these small things like going back to uniform. Even that, parents and teachers are not willing to do it anymore because they want to be liked. Like, you're not there to be liked, you're there to
guide.
Yeah, to teach, to educate, to impart knowledge, and the parents there to impart values.
Yes, and it's important that kids understand that there are boundaries in this world, because then otherwise you see what the schools are chucking out nowadays, just a bunch of entitled little people who don't want to work and are uninspired by life and spend their lives thinking about climate change and which latest masterpiece they can throw soup on.
Yeah, it's just unhealthy. We've got an entire generation of unhealthy young people, and it's our fault. It's the adults' fault.
So when I am Prime Minister and you are Archbishop of Canterbury, but also Education Minister, is that enough for you? Do you want something a bit higher up? Okay,
I'll take benign dictator, but I'll settle for that.
I'm very up for you being a benign dictator. You're actually one of the few people I would trust to be a benign dictator. Okay, you have to come out with a 5-point education plan to save education. Hit me, Calv.
Okay, put Christ back into schools. Okay, so the school is centered around a Christian education, which means you start the day with your hymns and your Lord's Prayer.
I love the hymns. I did hymns constantly. It was great. It's
formational, foundational. And that means that everything on the curriculum has to be looked at through that lens. So it's not about liberalism. It's not about political neutrality. It's about, is this Christ-centered? Is this true? Is it good? Is it beautiful? And that means looking at the canon, making sure we're teaching the best there has been, rather than, have we got enough black faces on the curriculum, enough Chinese faces on the curriculum? Is it diverse enough, equitable enough? It means taking all electronic devices out of the classroom, going back to basics of what's always worked, what we've known to be true, what we've known to work well to teach young people. It means bringing back discipline, because you can't have good teaching and learning without good behavior. Behavior, go into any school in this city, even the good private schools, any school in the city, behavior is abysmal. In the state schools, you'll have kids throwing chairs. In the private schools, you'll have entitled kids who think it's a transaction and their parents have paid enough so they can do what they like. Like, it doesn't matter which school you go to, the behavior is not good for teaching and learning. So we need to get the discipline back in order, which means that we have to get back to this, I am the adult, I am the expert, you will do what I say.
It's why fathers are important as well.
Absolutely.
Because fathers are scary in a way, just by the nature of the fact that we're tall, we've got a slightly different tone of voice. And we know what the rough end of the fist looks like often, because you've been there and you want your kid to. So actually, you know, again, standard form, progressivism is damaging to children, very damaging. Absolutely. To children, woke progressivism.
And accountability needs to come back as well. Schools are there to serve the community, to serve families.
Yeah.
So parents should have more of a say of what's going on in schools, not the other way around. Schools should not be dictating to parents what they should be doing. It's the other way around. So we need to, like, school boards, like what they have in America, to hold schools to account.
We should have open school boards in this country.
Yeah.
We absolutely should do. I find the whole education system, I feel like A, I'm really removed from it. Mm. B, it's, you know, this idea that, you know, that we, obviously what we're doing with our DfE thing there, the idea that you can socially transition a child,
it's just wicked,
behind their parents' back is like, I mean, the problem with discussing progressivism is you always end up at the same place, which is it's vile. Mm. But some of it is good. And I know that you don't like
which
that.
Bit's good.
Well, I do think that the way that it, rather than demonizing and making gay and lesbian people feel frightened or othered or shamed or even physically assaulted, as was back in the day, or even the chemical castration of someone like Alan Turing, was absolutely completely wrong. Mm. And therefore I am pleased and I'm grateful that there is a broad acceptance and love of people based around the fact that they are homosexual.
I think there's a middle ground there. The broad acceptance and love of a disordered lifestyle is what's leading us to this problem of the slippery slope of where we're going.
If Douglas Murray was sat here, would you say you live a disordered lifestyle?
Absolutely. Because he does.
What do you think he would say to you, Pat?
I don't know. I'm sure he'd have an argument. Or he might even agree.
Yeah, you never know. He might agree.
I don't know what his faith is like. But we've gone too far the other direction. There is a middle ground which says, look, this is a disordered life, but we love you and we want you to live in God's order. With there's a way of doing that without persecuting.
Yes. Okay. So you what you're saying is that because also that's the other thing progressives do is they take, there's lots of things that are sins in the Bible, and they just pick out which one is more sinful than the other, but they're not categorized in sin. Whereas love, but the most important of these is love, or whatever that bit of, is it John?
Yes.
16.
Yes.
Is that right? I don't know. I'm crap at the Bible. But sin is not qualified, is it, particularly? If something's sinful, it's just as sinful. So sex before marriage is just as sinful as...
Generally speaking, yeah. I mean, there are categories,
well, murder
of sin,
is,
but
like,
generally speaking, yeah, sin is sin.
Thou shalt not kill. Okay, so if we've got... we take smartphones out of schools, we bring back the idea of... First of all, you'd have to bring back accountability before you could bring discipline. Because I think it's all gone now. So you'd have to say, I've had this in a school where a kid has got into a fight with another kid and bullied and beaten that child. And then they had an anger management class for the kid that beat the kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you just suspend the child?
Yes.
Send that child home. But you probably send it home to a liberal parent who's like, oh.
Yeah, any violence, you've gone from the school, you're gone straight away.
Are you?
Yeah,
is that
done.
It? Violence is an immediate
violence,
expulsion.
You're done. But you don't get to violence because you sweat the small stuff. Like I was talking about uniform as an example.
Yeah.
You sweat the small stuff, you don't get to the big stuff. You clamp down on the rules and say, these are the rules because they're there to protect you. They're there for you, right? We're not imposing them abstractly or just for our own purpose of power or authority. It's there for you as a child because we love you and we want the best for you. Therefore, because we love you, we will put these boundaries in place and you will stick to these boundaries. If you break these boundaries, there are consequences. And so you give severe consequences for the small stuff, so you never get to the big stuff. And the places that compromise and just concede ground and let the small stuff fly, oh, who cares if the skirt's too short or the tie's undone? Like, what does it matter? Those schools are the ones that end up with the bullies and the fighting and the chair throwing and the...
Yeah, I think it's right. It's a sort of paradox, isn't it? That idea. It's the Rudy Giuliani broken windows
mayoral
policy. which I think would go down really well. But I went to Harrow and there was a book. You're given a book when you arrived of the rules. And the rules, I thought some of them were onerously pointless. Like in your first year, you had to have all the buttons on your blazer done up. In the second year, you could have one less.
Right.
In the third year, you could walk around with an open blazer.
That's great.
In the fourth year, you didn't have to wear that. You could carry the hat or something like that. I mean, whatever it was.
So you're growing into adulthood, kind of. You're gaining more freedom.
And actually, weirdly, I looked back at some of the rules that I thought were very onerous, and then I realized that actually they were quite good. One of them was you were not allowed to loiter in the street.
Mm, yes, I hate that.
And it was banned.
Yes.
And I didn't realize what a good rule it was.
Yeah. Look at all these hoodlums standing outside chicken shops intimidating old ladies.
Until I went down to the local corner shop.
Yeah.
And I saw these guys all sat on the railings outside. And I thought, I'm a bit frightened of this. You know, what if I wanted to go into, you see me using the cash point in there?
Mm.
Being charged £2.50 by the evil.
I refuse to shop at those places.
Oh, it drives me nuts. So yes, ultimately, it's not rolling back to traditionalism. It's applying structures that have always worked and applying them, and as you say, sweat the small stuff so that you never get to the big stuff.
Absolutely.
You know what that sounds like? Common sense.
We used to have that.
We've
lost a lot of common sense.
It should be
a crusade for common sense. That's what.
Yeah, if only someone did a thing on Lotus Eaters. Have you ever thought you should pitch it to them? Something.
Shouldn't I? 3 p.m. on Thursdays.
Yeah, that'd be a good day to do it. Call it something like Calvin's Common Sense Crusade at 3 p.m. on Thursday. I mean, look, how good a plug was that? I mean, it was
a great segue.
It was seamless.
Yeah,
I thought. I think it's an affliction on childhood itself as well, isn't it? If you don't have, like, I have very few problems with my kids. And now that they're older, it's a look. You know, the old thing that parents say.
Yeah.
I'd have very few difficulties with them on an ordinary day because they know where the line is.
Yeah.
And in life, you do need to know where the line is.
Yeah, you're firm on things like you won't leave the table until you finish your food and you've got to come and say hello to your guests. And you've got these lines that you're clear on and you follow through with them and you have to repeat it.
There's nothing worse, sorry to interrupt you, but there's nothing ruder than a child who doesn't come and greet a guest or say goodbye to a guest. The front door is a really sacred part of a house, I believe.
Mm.
Anyway, you were saying.
I'm just saying that kids don't stay kids forever. So they enter the workplace and they're so entitled because they've not had to stick to any boundaries. They've not had any rules at all. So they just want to do what they like and they don't understand why do I have to turn up at 9 a.m.? Why do I have to file this document this way or whatever the system is? They can't stick to it. So these woke people with their blue hair and their pronouns are failing to get jobs because they're not equipped for them.
They're not happy.
But not that school is there to equip people for jobs, but just that you're formed as a person in a holistic way. And part of that is being able to work and live with other people.
Yeah. What's his name? Teal. Peter Teal said that the woke agenda has created an entire non-job economy.
Yeah.
So that's what a diversity, equity, and inclusion officer is. It's just a moaning person who just moans about not getting their own way and people not doing what they do. But you would imagine a kid raised in that way would give them a certain amount of drive, a certain amount of pride, in a good way, pride in their appearance and various things, that they would actually be much more successful anyway. So again, progressivism is bad for children.
It is.
You know, this first attempt in learning, first attempt at, what is it, fail? First attempt in learning, yeah. That's what it's written outside a lot of schools.
Really?
Little classes. And I'm like, why would you write fail on a board in a class and call it first attempt in learning? It's like, what you want to teach child is you are going to fail.
Yeah.
And and the only way you're going to succeed is by not giving up.
Yes, try again.
Not failing is it's the first attempt in learning. It's not.
It's also weak and soft, isn't it?
I hate weak and soft.
Yeah.
I want to bring back, let's go to the dark place. Corporal punishment.
Yeah, why not?
You're up for that?
Yeah.
Would you, if you had kids, would you smack them?
If I had kids, of course I would. I was smacked as a child. I'd smack my child.
Right. Is it illegal though? No.
I think, I don't know. I know it is in Scotland.
Of course it's illegal in Scotland. Speaking is illegal in Scotland.
Yeah, that is also true. Thinking bad thoughts is illegal in Scotland. Mm.
I have.
Do you smack your kids?
I don't. I have. I smacked my eldest son, I think, twice. Mm. And I've never had to smack my younger son because he's never warranted it. He's just not that temperament. But both the first time, he very much deserved it. The second time, he deserved it too. But I just couldn't emotionally cope with it myself.
Right. Which is, it should be a last resort, absolutely. And of course, no child should be abused. So when a parent's going too far, then that's when the state should step in. But the state shouldn't dictate how you discipline your child in the first place. That's the problem.
The state just thinks that families are evil, and therefore, you know, I was saying, I did an interview with Tommy Robinson, and I was saying the state really wants to disenfranchise fathers, and I often see this over all the transgender stuff and everything else, which is like, where are the dads?
Yeah,
I think dads, you know, as well, all of these sort of these outer layers of the onion of woke shite. Is that what you do is you emasculate men if you take away their role as the discipliner within a family. But then I also have families that I know where the mum is the real hardcore disciplinarian and the dad is a bit of a softy. So I don't know, but you do need that double bubble.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and applaud little Johnny and Jackie and give them a prize for coming last.
No, and this is one thing I fought against when I was teaching, that everyone wins a prize. Like, no, especially on sports day, if you win the race, you win a prize. Everyone else doesn't win a prize. That's part of life. Not everyone's a winner. Yeah. That's tough, but it builds resilience. If you want to win, you got to work harder. You got to train harder. And actually, not everyone can win at every sport.
That's the next thing that's coming from the wokists. So now that the trans thing has not worked, now that the everyone's a racist thing hasn't worked, and now that the diversity, equity, and inclusion rot is being start to be, you know, certainly in American universities and various is being pulled out of these institutions, they're going to go for intellectual equity. That will be the next.
Really?
I think so. I think we're going to be saying no one is more intelligent than anyone else. Absolutely not.
It's clearly a lie.
And they're also going to go, no one, everyone. And if you seem by some systemically racist test not to be as intelligent, like an exam, if you seem to not be as intelligent as someone else, it's because your mental health has been attacked,
right?
Because you're oppressed.
Yeah, it's the system that's against you. It's not actually your intelligence.
That's what we're gonna look forward to. Should we bring on the asteroid?
I mean, Gabriel, blow the trumpet.
When is Gabriel playing the trumpet, by the way? Because I'm really waiting around.
It could be right now. Could be any minute.
Could it?
Yeah.
Are we in end times? You don't know.
Everyone always asks me that question. I don't know. I don't want to presume. I know everyone watching will be like, yeah, of course we are, because X, Y, Z. But I honestly think everyone throughout the whole of history for the last 2,000 years has been saying this is the end times. So, I mean, it could be. We have to be prepared for it being the end times, but we can't presume it's the end times.
There's many times that have been. I mean, it's bad now, but it's not as bad as it's been.
And I think it's going to get worse, much worse.
Oh, God, I know it is. We know it is for the reasons we talk about. Well, oh, well. I'd vote for you to be in charge of a school, and I would definitely do that.
Would you send your kids to my school?
Yes, 100% I would, yeah. I think a school, the choice of school is one of the most important things that you can...
This is something I struggled with as a teacher, but people often said, would you send your kids to this school? Like, that's something I really struggled with because I can't think of any school in London I would comfortably send my kids to.
There are some really good ones.
Name one.
I can't because it's a family member goes to it.
Okay.
So, but there are some very, very good ones. Some, you know...
I would struggle.
But it's, again, it's very difficult because... You know, you get some schools that pride themselves on excellence. Mm. And then, you know, obviously some kids are smarter than other kids. Yeah. And some kids don't get in or do get in. And it's, you know, I can see why that hurts people. But tough. I mean, the word tough should be used more often.
Absolutely.
Tough. I say it to my kids a lot. But I want to go there. Tough.
Yeah. Well, that's why the grammar school system was great, because it gave kids from a poor background access to a high quality education.
Yeah.
And people were... Oh no, you can't have a criteria of academic excellence because that's discrimination. Well, yes, it is, but it's always going to be discrimination.
Good. I want discriminating when it's important. Right.
Like, we can discriminate based on sporting ability. We can have sporting academies. Why can't we have academic ability in a grammar school system where if your kid, doesn't matter what their background is, doesn't matter how much money their parents earn, but if they are smart, they're going to get an education that's going to improve that for them and work for them. Like, what we've done by removing that system is making sure that everyone's education is equally rubbish in the state system.
It's a race to the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Equity is all about dragging down excellence to the lowest common denominator, which is usually some weird bloke with fake tits dancing in front of children.
Ban them.
You're up for banning them?
Ban them, absolutely.
I'm up for banning those.
No trannies in the classroom.
I do not. How did we end up in a world where men dance for children?
I don't know.
And what?
Perverted. Yeah. Why did we end up here?
We ended up here because we forgot why we're here, which was to try and lead a good life and to serve others. And well, to serve God in.
Amen.
Sorry, I know I get it wrong.
I was waiting. I didn't want to jump in.
All right. Can I have my envelope? I feel a bit under pressure. All right. What have you got? Okie dokie.
I can't remember now.
Oh, God. Just when I thought I was escaping it. Thanks a lot.
Oh, yeah.
LGBT youth charity funded by the SNP government promotes puberty blockers as wonderful.
This is post-CAS report.
This is post-CAS report. Yeah. So they get £1 million, is that right?
And this is a dodgy charity that have a dodgy history of dodgy employments. And yet they're still supported by the Scottish Parliament.
LGBT Youth Scotland.
Mm. Yeah, look into them.
I don't want to look into them.
No.
I really don't. All I know is that one of these kids in Scotland started pretending to be a girl who was a boy. And the mother immediately was like, out. She took the kid out of the school, sent it down to an English school when... You know, none of this happened.
Yes.
Totally reverted. Had nothing.
Good.
So, I mean, am I...
They were being socially conditioned.
Other than the dark shit of all of the misuse of our beautiful language, like gender-affirming care, which is not gender-affirming or care, which I find just on a purely linguistic level fucking annoying.
Always is, isn't it?
It drives me mad. Yeah. I am struggling now to see organisations like LGBT Scotland or Stonewall or any of these things as anything other than deviants. That's it.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
End of.
Evil deviants.
Evil deviants.
Why are they allowed near schools? Why are they taxpayer funded to promote this idea that something that's harmful to children is wonderful?
Why are our police cars covered in it? Why is everything covered in this
deviancy? Yeah, that was deviancy? The thing. That was a thing recently when we had St. George's Day, where the taxis were allowed to fly the St. George's Cross because they had special permission, but usually they're outlawed because patriotic goods or merchandise, whatever the word they use, patriotic things are banned, but flags are not banned. Therefore, they've managed to ban the St. George's Cross and the Union flag without banning the rainbow flag. So you can have a rainbow flag emblazoned all over a black cab, but you can't have a St. George's Cross hung anywhere on a black cab. And the reason they said is because it's distracting to other drivers. So you mean to tell me that a rainbow flag is less distracting than a Union Cross?
That little fucking migraine-inducing rainbow flag is enough to give me epilepsy. Just looking at the thing.
Well, horses won't cross a road with it on, will they?
Horses won't cross a road with it.
But it's this idea that this is what the Liberals do, isn't it? This is for your own good. It's to stop other people being distracted. Of course, it's not. The reason is to squash patriotism.
Is it the end of this disgusting Mengele-like experiment on children? Is it? Are they? I think they're going to come back. Like I said, they're going to come back with this help with intellectual equity and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But is the chopping of the dicks going to stop? Is it finished now? Do you think, is there any way that these nasty little deviants can find their way back in to mess up a child's life?
Well, in Scotland, it seems there is, yes. But through taxpayer funding.
But puberty blockers as well. Just the meaning, just that saying it's not a puberty blocker. You don't block puberty.
But they used to say this is, it's a temporary pause, it's nothing permanent. But even that is shown to be untrue at this point, that it's causing permanent damage.
Transphobic. Bollocks. I don't think you can be transphobic.
Well, what's the argument against it? That it's a transgenocide and you're killing, or you're at the very least, you're denying trans people exist. It's like none of that is true. No one's killing trans people. No one's denying that, that there's a trans problem. The issue is in the solution to this mental health problem.
Well, as you as you've said before, it's and I think this is true. It's you. It's a mental problem, so it needs holistic therapeutic treatment. Yeah. It's you don't need to chop the dick off.
No, that's not osteopathic.
That's not the thing. Do you think there are people who are genuine? You know, whether saying it's a mental disorder or not, but do you think there are people who are trans genuinely? No.
So nobody is. It's impossible to be born in the wrong body.
Yeah.
So anyone that feels like they're in the wrong body clearly has a mental disorder that needs treatment, needs therapy, needs support, needs help, needs prayer, needs love.
Yeah.
Does not need chemical surgery or drugs.
But what if they really wanted and they insisted and they were like, I want to do it. What if they wanted to do an India Willoughby?
What if someone really wanted one ear instead of two? You say no, it's ludicrous.
I'm sure you could get, well, there was an operation, someone's just had an operation where they've removed everything.
What do you mean?
Well, they've been, they call it a Barbie or a Ken or something.
Oh, please no, that's not real.
Yeah, that is real.
You say no, what's wrong with these doctors?
They should all be, I think they should go to jail.
They should be struck off at the very least.
They should go to jail.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting a bit hardcore and a bit militant, and I don't want
good.
To be hard.
You have to be. It's a war.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual war.
I know, but there's still this little cozy liberal actory man.
Don't let them.
Inside of my systemically
you for
racist.
So long.
Trans. Yeah, well, no, I avoided most of it. I didn't go to university. So they didn't manage to totally get me.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of lefties I know are really sound on these issues as well. So I don't even think it's a right-left thing.
No.
It's a woke, anti-woke thing.
And there are people who are woke on the right, you're right.
Yeah, the right, the rise of the white right-wing wokest.
Yeah.
Oh, I should say that next time if I ever do a play again. The rise of the right-wing wokest. What are to do to die today at a minute or two to two? A thing distinctly hard to say, but harder still to do. So to be to two at 22 at a minute or two to two today at a minute or two to two.
You can take the thespian out of showbiz.
But you can't. But why won't they? I want to be allowed to act again. If I became transgender, do you think I'd get a job?
Yeah. You could repent against your right-wingness.
Yeah.
You could say you were wrong, you were sorry, you were around too many bad influences.
You'd have to get it in the neck.
Yeah, it was Calvin Robinson.
Who are you, Lawrence? Are you the guy that... The last guy that cancelled Calvin. Yes.
But then they'd welcome you right back.
They would, the bastards.
He said, actually, I've been thinking about it. I think I'm actually a woman and everything I was doing was because I was repressed. They'd be like, oh, this
that
is
would
wonderful.
Fly.
Tell your
that
story.
That would fly.
Yeah.
That would fly. First of all, I'd have to go become gay. Then I would trans.
Right.
But then, you know, knowing my luck, what would happen is just as I woke up from the surgery,
yeah,
everyone would be like, oh, we're done with this woke rubbish.
But that's
and
actually
I'm like, but look, I need to dilate.
But that's part of this problem with the thing in Scotland, part of the benefits actually, people are waking up to the woke thing, as in the trans issue. I think a lot of parents are now saying, wait a minute, this has gone too far. And the UK government has decided it's gone too far. Unfortunately, a lot of schools haven't come around yet. But people are starting to see what's being pushed on children is wrong. That's a good start.
Yeah, I think that's right. Did you see the lunacy of the Kevin Nister thing?
No, tell me about that.
So he's in our case against DfE. He misgendered a student again.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't make any fucking sense. Sorry, I'm being really sweary this week. Mm. It doesn't make
any... I had comments saying you've been really well behaved so far.
Sorry.
That's £20 in the swear jar.
That's £20. But yeah, so he misgendered again, and means nothing bollocks word, a student. He was then removed from his job.
Whoa.
After teaching for ever.
So was this a student who had been transed?
This was a student who wanted to be referred to as a different, by a different name. This whole stupid concept of dead naming, all bollocks as well. And
was it name or pronouns?
It was name.
Okay.
And I think probably both, actually. I'd need to look into it more, right, in more detail. So not only, he was at the end of his teaching career. So he thought, you know what? I'm going to fight this.
Yeah, good.
Because no way.
Yeah.
It is a safeguarding issue to... You know, as you say, you're not born in the wrong body. You don't need to be called Jenny when you're John.
Yeah.
And so he fought it. And then to add insult to injury, that's how I fear how corrupt this world is. They put him on an advanced DBS checklist. so he can't ever work.
Oh, really?
Around children again, and he's got a sort of you're a deviant. So that's what they. That's why I.
A deviant for sticking to the truth. The deviant is the one who's telling that John, he can be Jane.
That's why I'm so like, don't negotiate with these people.
No,
they. That someone had to think that up. Yeah. A man had given his life to teaching. Someone had to think, how can we really destroy him? That's what you're up against. Mm. So that I was just astonished. And we're going to fight it with him. And
yeah, support the men.
Astonishing, absolutely astonishing. But I think we're witnessing the end of it. I think it's
coming. The tide is turning on the trans issue in particular, especially when it comes to children.
And it's more broadly then where these social manias that seem to erupt, like the pandemic and other social manias, where we shut down schools, and we did all that sort of stuff. But my worry, and I don't know whether this is related to the smartphone thing or not, is that they catch so quickly and they're so infectious. Mm. That it's a pandemic of manias.
Yeah, it's a social contagion, isn't it? But the problem is, there's also never any repentance. So even when we decide, okay, that's no longer appropriate, we were wrong on that, there's never an admittance of that guilt. There's never, I'm sorry, you know, we were wrong. You know, when Andrea Williams went on GMB or whatever, and Philip Schofield's like, you're a transphobe. Philip Schofield will never come out and say, I'm sorry for calling you a transphobe. I was wrong.
He doesn't feel like he has to, because he feels he's morally superior.
Right.
And also, you'd have to feel morally superior to do what Philip Schofield has done and think you can get away with it. But the problem is in the polarization is that they deliberately make it impossible to forgive. So it is, you have to set the example of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I saw that clip as well with Andrew Williams and Philip Schofield. And she's like, oh, back to the Middle Ages. And it's like, you are in the Middle Ages, mate. Yeah. You are the squire of your little fiefdom, and you're nobbing one of your servants. Yeah. That's what they did in the Middle Ages. And that's what they did in the olden days, chum. So you're in the Middle Ages, Captain Transathon.
Why do we always refer to the Middle Ages anyway? I mean, there were a lot of things better in the Middle Ages than what we have.
Crusades, you like those, didn't you? You're a big fan of Crusades.
I am a fan of Crusades, yeah.
Should we do
the
one?
The first couple.
What should we...
There could never be another Crusade.
A friend of mine said that he wants to go to France, just to annoy the French. He wants to take some bamboo canes and a ribbon and an English flag. And he just wants to go over to France and just put the bamboo canes around a little chair with this English flag and just say, I'm invaded, this is mine, this is sovereign British territory.
Yeah, but we don't have strong kings, we don't have strong popes anymore, so there will never be a proper pushback against this Islamism that's taking over the West. And it's not just Islamism, obviously it's wokeness as well. So we need strong leaders for it to happen. These things never started at the grassroots.
Gun to the head, Islam or wokeism? And you had to choose one.
Pull the bullet. Pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger and send father. But then that's a mortal sin.
No, it's not.
I know, because you didn't have
If they're going to martyr me.
Yeah.
If they put the gun to my head and say, you have to either be woke, essentially denouncing Christ, or become a Mohammedan, essentially denouncing Christ, then I'd choose neither.
Yeah. I wonder how many good people there are left who would be able to make that decision. You're one of them. I haven't met that many of them. These Piers Morgan people who sat there and belittled and berated, and he actually devoted a GMB section to going, what an evil man I was, because I refused to get experimented on and I refused to wear their stupid mask control mechanisms. And he devoted a GMB section to what an evil person I was. I'm like, is he ever going to apologize? Chunky twat.
He's a professional contrarian. Like, in real life, he's a nice guy. You can get on with him. On screen, he will take whatever side he thinks will be the most controversial in order to get the most. He is the definition of a grifter.
But yeah, he is a grifter. But does that not mean that if he just takes whatever position, he has no principles or integrity whatsoever?
I would probably think so. Yeah.
He was flying off. I remember during when they came up with those ridiculous tiers. Do you remember? During the pandemic. Oh yeah, you're in tier four, you need a bubble of three. We got just special. It's like everyone's like going, yes, seals, like nodding along like seals.
Yeah, it's horrible.
For the sensible people who were just going, should we come around and have dinner?
Sunday roast, yeah, why not?
He was in Antigua
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Which just goes to show, doesn't it? They say one thing on TV, do another thing in real life.
But why don't people call it out and go, I'm fed up with this?
Yeah.
Why didn't people turn around and go, I don't like you, Piers Morgan? I mean, they did start to do that with the... There was a guy on Talk TV who was speaking to the royal correspondent. Did you see that? Or a royal expert. And he was, you know, you can really tell how badly someone is infected by the woke virus. It's directly proportional to how much they love Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
And he was going like, she's Meghan Markle, she's so jam. It's a woman of colour rising up. Oh, and I'm like, oh, whatever. And this royal correspondent went, it's just very inappropriate. And he was so rude to her. And I think that guy will lose his position on the air. I think even Talk TV, I mean, not even Talk TV, but even the mainstream medias are beginning to go, you know what, it's not helping us with our audience.
It's not.
Little activists. Yeah. You know,
they're losing their audiences. We see this every week. This show beats Talk TV in live figures, for example, and they've had
by a factor of 10.
Right, and they've had to close down their
TV
channel.
Love you.
Yeah, absolutely, they've closed down their TV channel. They've gone online only now. We know that GB News has lost all their funding as well. They're doing a similar. The mainstream media isn't working. Piers Morgan had a massive platform for so long, and he's lost that platform because he just perpetuates lies and pushes the established narrative. Doesn't hold the powers that be to account, doesn't speak on behalf of the people. That's what people want.
Yeah, that shift is the biggest shift that's going to go on, which is that's going to carry on like a snowball, getting bigger and bigger and bigger as it goes down the hill. And then part of me is like, what are the repercussions going to be for people like Piers Morgan?
Well, that is the repercussion. He's lost his TV show. He's got an online channel now that's not doing very well. This is the repercussion. Like, people are voting with their wallets by choosing not to watch this rubbish.
Yeah. There's an explosion in subscriptions, isn't there? And I realized it when we put the crowdfunder out for Kevin's case and for this DfE case. I was surprised that we didn't get more money. And then I was speaking to a friend and she said, well, look, if you think about how many subscriptions people take out to things, but that's good in the marketplace to be able to have access. And I suppose that's what's so really good about Elon Musk. But what happens if Elon Musk has a, you know, snowplow crash.
No. We need to find a way to move beyond these big monopoly platforms. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. They have
too much.
What
about a Free Speech Act in the UK?
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. Go back to the Bill of Rights, kind of the Magna Carta. Go back to the things we already have. Restore the power that they had, the authority that they had. We could do that. That's doable. But again, we need politicians who have the will.
None of them do, because as we've discussed before, they all just want to perpetuate their position of being politicians. Yeah,
which is why they're all going to get voted out, and a new lot is going to get voted in, who are going to do the exact same thing.
And worse, in the case of Keir Starmer, and he's going to focus heavily on diversity, equity, and inclusion. But this is what I mean by when I was talking to you about this council. If you've got enough people from enough walks of life to turn around and go, we demand a Free Speech Act, we want it legislated, and we will do what the Palestinians did, the terrorist supported lot did. Mm. We'll just stand outside Parliament until you do it.
I don't think it would work, in all honesty. I don't think it has ever worked. The Million Man March against the war in Iraq was probably the biggest protest we've had in this country. It had zero impact. I don't think protests or petitions do anything. Yeah, politicians know. They can just laugh at us.
Yeah, Bob Moran did quite a funny cartoon when the dragon is going after trying to slay the maiden, and St. George is sat on a log and he goes, I will be with you shortly, my darling. I'm just signing this online petition.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. I'm. What do you think of online petitions when you get one? I get a bit like...
At this point, I just think they're a waste of time, to be honest with you.
What do we need? A good old piece of English yew and make a longbow and start, you know, do we need a bit of a peasant's revolt?
We need some kind of revolt, excuse me, but I don't know what that looks like.
You can go down the front like in Braveheart, blessing everyone.
Yeah, I'll stand at the front and I'll take my cross and I'll process with everyone else, but I don't know.
Would you pick up a sword in a battle?
Yeah, of course.
Gosh, so you, I mean, this would make a good film. Because people keep saying to me, Fox and Father would make quite a good film. And I'm like, it would be quite cool. It's just like feckless me wandering around going, Calvin, I don't like this. And you're like, never fear, my son. And you pull out a sword.
We should have a sword to defend ourselves. Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is biblical.
So would you be able to kill someone?
I don't know about that.
Well, you've got
in defense,
you're not going to kill anyone.
Well, would you be able to kill someone? It's a very flippant. I don't think I would want to kill someone. Would I be able to defend myself and my family, my country? Yes.
But if you like crusades, by the very nature of the crusade, you've got to go over there and reclaim Christendom.
We've got to start reclaiming England first.
Without a sword.
Well, maybe a sword will be necessary at
some
point.
I just want some pitch battles between me and James O'Brien.
Yeah.
Like, send out your strongest warrior and James O'Brien comes out. Or what's that big guy who used to be quite sound on LBC but is now not sound? The guy who was well into the vaccines, who looks like a big bowling ball.
Oh, yeah.
Mike something. No, that's the other one. Anyway, not some pitch battles with some swords?
I'm not keen on violence, but I do think it's warranted in terms of defense.
Organized, like, we'll meet. Okay. We'll meet, we'll meet Navarra Media.
Right.
On the school playground.
Okay.
At noon.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like West Side Story.
Okay. You're going to dance it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I'm a jet. But we could be like Gangs of New York.
I don't even know where this is going.
I'm just trying to get you excited to the massacre of James O'Brien and other... I can't say that. Third envelope. Theon's just pointing at me going, stop it now. Okay. I don't know what Theon's... if he pointed at the third envelope, it means that...
What's he chosen this week?
Well, it just means that it'll be something that he is interested in.
Oh, okay.
That will probably be obscure. What are you saying?
Can't hear him. Doesn't matter. We love Theon.
Oh. I don't know about this. New AI speed cameras.
Ah, yes.
Designed to catch drivers on the phone, get national rollout. A new type of speed camera, which uses AI to detect and prosecute motorists using their mobile phone at the wheel, is now being rolled out across 10 police forces in England in a bid to eradicate the problem. Working with our police partners, we want to reduce dangerous driving and reduce the risk posed to both drivers and other people. We believe using technology like this will make people seriously consider their driving behavior. Mm-hmm. We will make you seriously consider your driving behavior. It's good, isn't it?
No, it's not good.
I know it's not good, but I had to pretend I thought it was good. Right, why is it not good?
This particular instance of AI is not good. It feels like pre-crime. It's this idea that Big Brother...
Driving along with the phone is crime.
It is, but Big Brother is always watching you and kind of invading your space in order to find a crime rather than you having committed a crime and being punished for that crime. It's kind of like they're already there. They're already waiting for you to commit something, some kind of offense.
But I've got to say,
go on.
As a man who's got in my car quite a lot to do the school run, I try not to do it as much anymore because it costs £10 million to just get in my car. The number of people I see on their phones...
Yeah.
Is ridiculous.
It is. It's ridiculous.
I'm surprised road traffic accidents haven't gone up by millions.
Yeah. It's ridiculous everywhere. On Oxford Street, just walking down here, it's like you can't walk down a street without bumping into people because everyone's like this now. No one's looking up.
Cyborgs.
Yeah. We're all so addicted to these blooming devices. It's a wider problem than just finding people. I mean, you could argue that it is a good law, say you're not allowed to use your phone while you're driving, but that's a symptom of a wider problem.
Mm. And the wider problem is the ever-growing nanny state, surveillance state.
Yeah, and this is only one use of AI. You know, AI is taking over our lives very quickly without many of us realizing it, and we haven't stopped to consider, is it a good thing? You know, this, Twitter's got one now, isn't it? Everyone's...
Yeah, Grok.
Grok, right. So there's Grok, there's ChatGPT, there's all these other online things where you could just say... Well, you could pose a question and you get a report back.
Yeah, I asked it to make a picture of... I didn't post it in the end because I thought I've already in enough trouble this week.
Right.
I asked it to do a picture of Gary Lineker as an austere religious scholar.
Oh, yeah.
Dressed in robes of the Progressive Pride flag.
Okay. Was it good?
It took a bit of convincing, but it doesn't like... ChatGPT, and I know that's not the main one you should use for anime, for cartoons and stuff like that. Doesn't like the Progressive Pride flag.
Right.
It smells a rat.
Well, there's two sides to that. The one is the ChatGPTs and the AIs that you give them something and they give you something back, because that's always got a bias. It's got a heavy liberal bias, which means that all these people that are saying, I'm going to get help on my reports, whether they're doctors or teachers or whatever, they put information in and get something back. It comes back with a liberal perspective, which is obviously not good. But then the second side to that is that the graphics side of AI, when produce a graphic for me based on this and this, it's there's something evil about it. There's something uncanny about it, because creation, God can create, the devil can't create. The devil manipulates and destroys. He can't create. Art is supposed to be beauty. We've discussed this before, but art is supposed to be beautiful in order to transcendental, to be transcendental, to lift us up, to redirect us towards God. And when art is created by AI, it's not truly beautiful. There's always something about it that's kind of really off-putting. And it's because it's been created without a soul. There's no human contact, therefore there's no God contact. And it's just very abstract. And I just think there's something evil about it.
But if humans are created by God and humans then create AI, is God not involved at some point?
Well, very, very remotely, but not in the creation of the arts.
James Lindsay said to me, I mean, I know that people are very sort of poo-poo-y of AI. I'm very nervous of anyone, of any immediate, like, oh, it's bad. Like, the minute someone says something's bad, I want to know about it. Probably, you know, what we're talking about to do with
which
kids.
Is fair.
James Lindsay said to me, you never know. AI might be much better than you think it is. Because it might, when people go, climate change, you know, because I said to him, well, what happens if AI needs to, you know, save the planet, if its mission is to, you know, keep harmony and support the liberal agenda and all this sort of stuff, and it goes, trawls the internet with its AI thing, and it goes, it finds out that, you know, humans are the cause of all evils on the world and the climate, and it kills them. But he said, no, if it's the way, the speed it's accelerating in its intelligence, what AI might do is go, you're lying. Human beings aren't the cause of climate change. It's a lie.
Okay.
So there might be good things come out of it. The things that I worry about is people losing their jobs.
But it depends. Well, that's a problem too, because automation is massively increasing as well. But the problem with it saying this is a lie is it depends on the data sets that it's given. And the people who are creating these AIs are giving them data sets that are massively liberal or persuaded to their own personal prejudice and bias. Mm. So it's bound to say, yes, the climate crisis is real and it's an emergency and this is how we solve it. And you all need to lock yourselves down in 50-minute cities because it can't have it has no true morality. So it can't say, well, of course, humans need to be with each other and need to be free and this and that. It only has what we give it.
But then the argument would follow that there would be, in the marketplace of ideas, there would be a different AI that was given a much freer rein to explore more data.
That would be the argument, but history shows us otherwise, that every single technology is monopolized by the liberals, which is part of our ongoing conversation about big tech and big pharmacy and the military industrial complex and all of these areas of our lives that have any control or influence are always monopolized by the liberals. So do we want to take that risk?
Well, I don't think we have a choice whether we take the risk or not. But
now is the deciding time. Now is the time when we decide how much of an influence do we want AI to have in our world.
I think Elon said it was too late already.
Then we're done.
We're done?
AI could be the end of us.
Well,
if we ever give it enough power.
Well, it's already, I mean, what do they call it? The singularity. Yeah. The moment where it starts to go, I need some more power. Where do I get that from? Ah, look, humans. I can eat them for nourishment.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
Have you not seen The Matrix?
I have. It's a good film. It's actually one of my favorite films.
Little batteries. Yeah. They can be little batteries for the AI. But I think it will take people's jobs because I asked it to write me a script with me as James Bond. Mm. As a James Bond type Jason Bourne character, and it wrote me one. It wasn't that.
This is what I really don't like. It
wasn't terrible.
It's because it's just become so convenient so quickly.
How are kids going to get exams? They'll just be like, you know, because you'll have your AI plugged in. We're not miles away from, you know, little contact lenses on them, are we? Yeah,
Google Glasses came out years ago.
Did they?
Yeah.
You can get Ray-Ban glasses like that nowadays. Right. But the Apple one looks a bit big and expensive to me.
It looks silly, doesn't it?
It does look silly. So AI good, AI bad?
I don't think it's good at all. I think we should be very cautious of it, very wary of it. People will say, well, it can have good uses, but people say that about everything, right?
Mm.
Just think.
I'm not scared of it.
You're not?
I'm not. I'm more worried about human beings doing the damage before AI ever gets a chance to. In fact, AI might protect the last of the human beings once, because everyone seems hell bent on going, we haven't had a war in a long time, so we need a really big war.
But I already find myself thinking, I wish I had a filter on Twitter so I could just filter out anything that's AI, because it's just, I want to see good Renaissance art. I want to see good, beautiful art on my stream. I don't want to see all these horrible, uncanny, kind of almost realistic but not quite, and there's always something quite off-putting. I don't want to see all that flooding my feed in terms of the graphics, but also in terms of the content. I want to read what a human soul has produced and written and take something from that. I don't want to read what an engine has produced based on a biased criteria.
I wonder what would happen if you asked AI to write to say the tenets of wokeism are diversity, equity, and inclusion, that children can change gender, all of that. You gave it the five or six doctrines of wokeism, you know, systemic racism is everywhere. Yeah. And you asked it to write you a Bible type book of wokeism, whether it would be able to do that. I might have to mess around with that while I'm waiting for my doctor's appointment this afternoon.
I just want less. I want less technology in my life, and I want less AI in my life.
I'm going
to
get
back to basics, back to the real world, real sustenance and real substance, real content of the creation that God has given us.
I know.
Less separation.
I don't know, if any David Attenborough hadn't turned woke, we could have just watched Planet Earth.
But less TV too.
Planet Earth is good.
One of the best things people can do these days is just turn off the TV.
I haven't watched television in a very, very long time.
Oh, I turned my TV on the other day, actually. I had a real scare. It was on ITV3.
Oh, God.
Your face popped up.
Yes! £11. It gave me,
honestly, I was like, what the heck is this?
That's 11 quid. I get 11 quid.
Really?
Yeah.
You look so young.
Thanks a lot. ITV.
It was uncanny, though. It was weird.
Do you know what ITV did? Shifty little bastards. When you sign a contract to do Lewis, right? Because your face is in perpetuity, you're going to be because it's still being shown, as proved by you. Yeah. ITV had to pay you. Say they paid me 100 quid for one episode of Lewis. They then get to show it again once for free, and then they have to pay you 65 quid every other time they show it.
Wow.
Right? So to get round this problem of the fact that they were writing big checks to people, including me, for a while, they created a subsidiary company, a channel, ITV3.
Right.
Which they sold the program to for nothing,
right?
Almost. So instead of getting £65, I get 11 pence.
Wow, that's a robbery.
It's absolute robbery.
Yeah.
But fortunately, it's on loop, so I get 11 pence quite often. anyway, it's been a delightful Fox and Father for you this week. I'm sorry that my I'm gone insane. But hopefully I will not swear or talk about crusades and sword fights with James O'Brien anymore.
Fewer sword fights, but more crusades.
More crusades, but you can't have a decent crusade without sword fight.
We're in a moral crusade right now, a crusade for common sense. We've got to bring the values back.
Someone had a TV show where they...
But we are. We've got to get the ideas back first.
We're bringing the ideas back, Calv. God bless you.
God bless you too, brother.
See you later, guys.
Thanks for watching. Take care.